This is a recording of the open session of the Federal Election Commission held on April 29, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next and final item on our agenda today is the report of the Audit Division on Friends of Meaner Committee. We have a presentation from Mr. Hintermeister, Mr. Stoltz, and then also Mr. Calvert and Ms. Steinle from the Office of General Counsel. And before we move to this next audit, this is now is as good a time as any to announce that the Commission is currently working on a document to clarify its policy on how audit reports are going to be presented when there are findings that the Commission, where there aren't the requisite four votes to approve anyone finding in a Commission audit. That clarification document is currently being drafted, and we hope to have that available by the next open meeting. So something to look forward to come May. So having said that, we'll turn to the presentation on the Friends of Meaner audit.
Sure. Before you is the final audit report for Friends of Meaner. There's two findings in this report as of right now. Finding number one is apparent impermissible loans. The essential question here is, did loan proceeds deposited into the candidate's law firm account result in the campaign's receipt of excessive and a prohibited contribution? Finding number two is the receipt of a excessive contribution from the candidate's spouse. So essentially the question is, did a payment from a trust to the candidate's spouse result in an excessive contribution to the campaign? I do want to note that on page 9 of the report, footnote number 4, there is a reference that would need to be corrected depending on how on the outcome of today.
Okay, thank you for that presentation. Questions or comments? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand the facts, Meaner, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly. His law firm got a loan, right? Is that
in finding number one?
Well,
his law firm received.
Yes.
Yeah, he received.
Right.
He received three loans.
Now, the concern I have on all this really is that unless that money is in connection with the election, to use one of our favorite terms, it's not a problem. And I'm having trouble getting where you are in light of past commission action I'm hung up on how we get where you want us to go. So maybe you could elaborate a little bit on maybe the facts or something to help me understand and connect the dots you're connecting.
Typically, in these cases where the money isn't coming directly into the campaign, in this case it's going to his law firm, or in the second contribution it's going through the candidate's, or in the second finding it's going through the personal account of the candidate and his spouse, we look for other factors that might lead us to the conclusion that an excessive contribution was made. One of those being the timing of when the money hit the law firm account and when the money was transferred to the campaign. So in a couple of these instances, $10,000 would come into the law firm same day, $10,000 would go to the campaign.
But the law firm money was his money, right? I mean, there's no question that. How's the law firm set up? Do we know?
I'm not quite sure. I think it's
a sole proprietorship.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is his money. It's the same. Okay.
Exactly.
So the concern that I have is some other matters that seem to go the other way. You have her old friend Janet Robert Thatmer, one of my personal faves, where her mother loaned the candidate's mother loaned money to the candidate, which then managed to sort of turn right around, go into the campaign, and go right out the door for media buys, and the commission didn't punish that. But even going something I think is a little bit closer, there's the Jim Moran MER. You may remember from the newspapers where a fellow had loaned Moran some money for some things, and a complaint was filed, and I believe the Office of General Counsel recommended pursuing it, but the commission 6-0 vote and statement of reason signed by six commissioners back in 2002, I think, said that's not a contribution to the committee, and it turned on whether or not it was actually in connection with the election. Not all money that is received by a candidate is deemed a contribution. My second concern is we're dealing with a lawyer in a law firm, and it's really tough to sort of get into the books of a law firm. You have attorney-client privilege, you have First Amendment issues, and that sort of thing. We've had at least one law firm case come up since we've been here, and it's not an easy case because it's tough for the federal government to go in and start asking a lawyer about his books. You also have the constitutional problem where it's a self-funder, and Buckley made clear you can self-fund. So we have to take some care when we go and pursue folks who are self-funders claiming they got the money from somewhere else. But the way I read this file, it seems to me that the recommended findings are at odds with the Moran MER and other MERS, and it seems like the commission's already grappled with this issue and come out differently, but yet here we are revisiting the same issue. So if you have any comments on that or anything else, I'm all ears, but I want to let you know where I am.
You know, as far as in this case, I mean, the law firm did receive two loans for which the committee pretty much concedes were personal loans and is willing to take whatever corrective action is necessary. I don't know if they're conceding that they were resulted in excessive contributions, but they stated it such as that. If the commission decides that these are excessive contributions, then they will do whatever is necessary to correct the problem.
But my argument really, I guess, then goes more to the loan. I guess it's finding two then, the trust issue and the spouse.
Okay.
Because to me, I see it all kind of as one big issue. I know you're breaking it down, but maybe talk a little bit more about that finding then.
That was a trust bought the interest from the candidates. The spouse's interest in a company bought stock, basically. A trust bought stock from the candidate's spouse. She deposited that check into her personal checking account, and then on the same day wrote a contribution to the campaign. She bought the trust bought the bought $10,000 worth of stock from the candidate's spouse, and then a $9,000 check was on the same day made out to the campaign.
Tell me about the affidavit that we have here on that point.
Essentially, the spouse provided an affidavit that says that she gave the contribution to the campaign under the direction of the candidate.
Pardon? Sorry, somebody's. Say again.
That the spouse gave the contribution under the direction of the candidate.
Because their position is because they're married was really also the candidate's money, right?
Well, that and the money from the trust was deposited into the joint account of the spouse and the candidate.
Which is, right, the candidate's account. So their position is that it's the candidate's money, too, so then he could self-fund with it. So their position is there's nothing illegal about that.
Right.
Okay.
I would point out in response to the interim, they acknowledged that it was the candidate's spouse funds and said they had misunderstood the law and thought that she could give an unlimited amount.
Regardless, though, if money goes into a joint account, husband and wife, and let's say the husband's the candidate, the husband can draw on those funds for his campaign, correct?
That's always a difficult point, particularly in a case like this where you can watch the money come in and go immediately back out, and it's something that we in council have discussed on any number of occasions, and they may want to weigh in on it as well.
Mr. Calvert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I think I totally agree with Mr. Stoltz. It's a difficult question, and it sort of depends on what is the asset that
probably why I asked the question
that you're looking at.
Yeah.
If money is sitting there in a joint account and state banking laws say that each holder to a joint account has full access at any time to the funds in the account, and that's all you're looking at, somebody's written a check, then we would say, okay, well, they had money in the bank account, and he had access to all of it, and that looks fine. But if there's some, I don't think the auditors will usually stop at, unless there's some reason not to stop at, they will keep going and see what's the source of the funds, what's the real source of the funds we're talking about here. If we understand it correctly, and they'll correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong, the source of the funds that's involved here was liquidation of shares of stock that were held entirely in the candidate's spouse's name. So to take an analogy that we've talked about amongst ourselves, if you were to take the case of Senator Kerry's mortgage, in that case, Senator Kerry borrowed against only the amount that was his one-half share of the property. Had he gone further than that, had he borrowed against more than that and into Mrs. Kerry's share of that property, I'm not sure that we would have said that that was fine simply because the money parked for a second in their joint checking account before, on its way from the mortgage company, before he turned around and wrote a check to the committee. And that would be essentially, as we understand it, the situation that we have here. They liquidated an asset that was wholly the candidate's spouse's, liquidated it, the money was into the joint checking account, and then right away the spouse wrote a check out of the joint checking account to the committee.
Which you said you weren't sure what you would do in the situation with Kerry. That's your preface to that was, it's a tough case, but you're not sure what you would do. So my question is,
let me be more definite.
Where does one
about
find
it?
The rule for this approach?
100.33, the definition of personal funds, says that a candidate can contribute. In one part 110, obviously a candidate can contribute an unlimited amount of personal funds. 100.33. Defines personal funds, and there is in 100.33C the half interest rule, to which there has been in a number of cases over time the state banking law gloss added onto it. If the funds are accessible to both spouses entirely, then it's 100% available to either one of them, and it would be the candidate's personal funds.
So the rule,
but in and the auditors might be able to help me out here. I cannot think of a single case in which we have said that where the funds are otherwise, where the true source of the funds is somewhere else, that they get a bath just because they have parked for less than a day in the candidate and their spouse's joint account.
So the law is both the federal reg and state banking law?
There has been, in terms of determining whether or not funds are a candidate's funds in a checking account or a candidate's personal funds, we have in the past, I think we did this in Spadea? In the Spadea audit, if it wasn't Spadea, I think it was a different one, in which we said, yes, if you're just looking at funds in a checking account, and the state law is that that each spouse has access to 100% of the funds in the account, then all of the funds in the account are the candidate's personal funds. The spousal interest rule, I didn't state very precisely. It states that basically it's the candidate can use up to whatever their interest is in the jointly held asset, and if there's no instrument of conveyance, then we have a default rule of 50-50.
Commissioner McGann, could I ask you to yield to ask one clarification? Is there any information we have in this particular audit that the arrangement that their arrangement under state law did otherwise than allow them to access their joint account, that it was either one of their assets to spend wholly in, as they saw fit?
Well, what? Go ahead.
Under Hawaii state law, which is what we're looking at here, they would be entitled to 100% of the funds in the joint account.
Okay, so we don't know of any,
and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we know of any terms to the particular joint checking account that we're dealing with here that would indicate otherwise.
Okay, so there's nothing under state law that creates a problem. There's nothing in terms of a personal arrangement. I know that sometimes, right, and it may have been the case in the Kerry matter, I don't recall the details, but I can see how situations, not speaking to that one, but others, where maybe there are prenuptial agreements and division of property, contractual arrangements between two spouses, that creates a whole new set of issues that would arise. But do we have any indication that there's anything like that in this particular audit?
Not with respect to the checking account, but again, with respect to the underlying funds that constituted the body of this transaction, our understanding is, yes, the stock that was sold to generate the cash,
right,
that was momentarily in the joint checking account and then the same day sent to the committee, was stock that was wholly in 100% in the spouse's name and not the candidate's name.
And I guess that gets to a question that we addressed earlier, is how long does that money need to be in her? If she deposited in their joint checking account, and then just, you know, reading this affidavit, it seems like her intention was to make this accessible to both spouses. And I agree that maybe in some circumstances it maybe for optics, having it stay there longer than just a few moments before then there's a check drawn on that account might, I don't know, give one more comfort, but I'm not sure I see anything here that indicates that there really was a problem. That it's from her affidavit, it sounds like the intention was to put this money into their joint checking account to make it the property of both the husband and wife, and then at that point, it seems like it's an asset of both, you know, of both the candidate and his spouse. That's the way it looks from the way I'm reading the facts as I see them. Is there anything in that I'm missing?
Not factually, Mr. Chairman. I think it would just be that in a state with banking laws such as Hawaii's, where, and I think this is the law of many states, where a joint checking account is 100% accessible to all of the parties in the account who are signatories to the account, that this would make it easy for pretty much all spousal assets essentially to be to be 100% available to the candidate, which has not been the rule previously, because then all you would have to do is take the proceeds from whatever assets you liquidated and put them in the account before you wrote a second check.
But it's still a gift, isn't it?
Well, it's...
If a spouse says, I mean, Nevada's different so than Hawaii, and it's a community property state. Here I just checked, and it's not a community property state. But generally, if you have a property that's your sole property, ownership, and you put it in an account, and all of a sudden it's converted to one-half, that's a gift, right?
It would be. The question here would be, do we consider it the personal funds of the candidate?
I can just ask a follow-up. You said that the arrangement that you just spoke of has never been the rule. That arrangement isn't contradictory to a prior rule. It sounds like we just haven't necessarily had a rule. Has the commission spoken affirmatively on this point before?
We're not sure that it's been done in a MER, certainly not recently. Certainly, the commission applied similar principles, I think, and again, Mr. Stoltz can correct me if I'm wrong, in the Spadia audit.
I think that's correct in the Spadia audit, because we were, again, you know, you're tracking the funds, and sometimes, you know, it's very apparent where the money came from, as it is in this case, and does the, you know, the brief residence in the joint account solve the problem? In this case, you know, presumably they could have just endorsed the check and sent it over to the campaign. In this case, they kept $1,000, so they had a deposit and write a check.
Okay, Mr. McGann, I had asked you to yield on your time, but I didn't know if you wanted the floor again. Further questions or comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess it really comes down to, and different commissioners have felt differently about this over the years, whether it's a problem, whether spousal contributions or family contributions are a problem. And, you know, you brought up the Robert case, and as you know, Commissioner McGann, I voted the other way on the Robert case. I voted, the commission didn't have the votes to go forward, but I voted to go forward. And I actually do believe that there's an interest in preserving the limits even as between spouses. I think that's what the law says. And I think it's too easy to circumvent if you just say, well, as long as the money's in a joint account, then, you know, you can move it in and out in one day, and we know where the money came from. So as much fun as it's been agreeing with you guys so often this week, today, can't be there on this one.
Commissioner McGann.
What about in finding one with the loan, $5,500, where the committee says that wasn't used for the campaign, it went in the law firm's account, but law firm money was, they actually are saying it wasn't used, and it seems to come within the Moran matter where someone loaned Moran money and it wasn't used for his campaign. Is the air a good feeling over on finding one, too?
Sorry. I regret that I don't recall the Moran. I mean, I remember reading about it in the newspapers, but I think if it was in 2002,
right,
that was probably before my time.
Yeah. It was signed by such renegades of libertarian thought, such as Scott Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
Danny Lee McDonald. Yeah.
I know. And let me just appeal to my colleagues. It's been a really busy week, but I have asked several times for a little bit more on what the nature of your objections were on these audits, and I wish that I would have known in advance. I would have gone back and looked at the Murren, and maybe I would have found that compelling statement by Scott Thomas persuasive.
Apologize for that, for not letting you know, but with everything else today.
No, I know. It's been busy.
Yeah. I mean, I was sort of floundering when I got going on remembering what this one was about, so I apologize. I had to remind myself, but it wasn't on purpose.
No, I completely understand, but unfortunately it leaves me without the persuasive value of having read that MER. So I'm not persuaded by it because I don't recall. I don't have anything to go on that one. I seem to recall, not to get into executive session matters, but not too long ago I brought up a case in executive session, and you guys all said, well, gee, we don't remember that case, and we didn't have a chance to look at it. You know, that was bad on me, you know. It happens. But, you know, the bottom line is it seemed like struck me as kind of an unusual transaction. If it was something like, you know, we perform legal services and here's the check, then that's easy. But this wasn't quite that.
Before you get there.
Okay.
On the loan, let me ask somebody, maybe able to help flesh this out. But the response of the committee says, this is fine, the $5,500 loan. The problem with the commission's finding is that there is no evidence to demonstrate that any portion of the $5,500 loan was utilized by the candidate to make loans to his campaign. The Office of General Counsel acknowledged this fact. On page 4 of its memorandum, it concluded that based on generally accepted accounting principles, it is impossible for the commission to accurately determine that loan proceeds from the mortgage lending company were the source of the loans that were deposited into the campaign account. I guess first question is that what your memo says? And two, if so, does that help?
That is not quite what our memo says. And if I may, Commissioner, you'd mentioned fleshing it out. Let me try and flesh out what our analysis is here. Obviously, if money isn't used for campaign purposes, it's not going to be a contribution to the campaign. But what our understanding of the facts here were, and I think the finding has numbers that are a little bit larger because it deals with some transactions over a larger period of time, but we're really talking here about a set of transactions in which the law firm took in, I think, $45,000 over a period of just a few days, very small number of days, and the candidate put $39,000 of that amount in almost immediately into the campaign. $39,500 of the amount that the law firm took in was pretty clearly, to the satisfaction of the audit division, money that the law firm had taken in consideration of bona fide legal services. And therefore, because the law firm is a sole proprietorship, under the personal funds reg, it was the personal funds of the candidate to do with as he wanted. So this leaves you with the $5,500, and the difficult question was, because of the way the money came in, it didn't come in. It was commingled, to use a fraught word, when the law firm received it with money that was clearly consideration for bona fide legal services, and then this amount that wasn't, that had something to do with some sort of promissory note. So the difficult question was, okay, can you tell out of this amount of money, did this $5,500 that didn't look like it was necessarily the personal funds of the candidate, at least under the personal funds definition, because it wasn't income for bona fide legal services, did that go into the campaign or not? And because of the way it came in, it was our understanding that this was not something the auditors could just sort of quickly apply either a LIFO or FIFO analysis to do. So we said, we advised the audit division that they ought to tell you that they've got a dilemma and that there are policy pros and cons to whatever accounting rule they would adopt here, whatever presumption they would adopt. But we also said, we cited an old AO that actually dealt with funds for personal living expenses that I think was a precursor to 113.1G6. But this was also done with business funds in the Morrison audit, not the Morrison MER, because the commission didn't proceed on the family contribution aspect of that. But as an accounting principle in that part of Morrison, the commission had approved this accounting principle. And we mentioned that and said, you know, if they couldn't have run, if it turns out that this freed up the candidate's personal fund or the rest of the money to go to the committee, and the business couldn't have continued to run without this other money, that might be another way to get there. And the audit division went back and looked at it that way, and they concluded, and I will certainly leave it to them to explain the math and the accounting, but they concluded that it could not have, that the law firm would have otherwise been overdrawn had it not been for this loan. So they concluded as an accounting principle that essentially that this money went into the campaign committee based on the Morrison, the Morrison principle.
Can I ask a question about that? There was a time when, and I apologize, Commissioner McGann, just one question about the overdrawn. I was drawn to footnote 5, which says that the candidate's business account would have been overdrawn when the candidate loaned funds to FFM on September 5th, 2006. For how long would the account have been overdrawn, and by how much? What amounts are we talking about here?
I took it out to September 12th, which is 4 days after the transfer was made, and it was like $20 overdrawn, $21 overdrawn on September 12th, by the end of September 12th.
Okay, so if the money weren't there, there might have been a possibility of just being overdrawn by $21 for how many days?
I just took it to the 12th. I'd got it to the point where it was overdrawn, and I didn't take it beyond that.
Okay, so he didn't zero out the account with the amounts. So it's the representation that he made in his letter to the FEC was that I maintain sufficient funds at all times to cover the amount that I received, this $5,500 loan that I got from the home mortgage company. And the report says that's not completely accurate, but that there was at least a few days where maybe that dipped, down to about 5480?
That's where you're getting the 5480 from?
Well, you were saying that you're making the analysis that he would have been overdrawn but for the fact that he had this loan. But he would have been
right.
Okay. So his account for a few days got down to $5,480 and then it was above. I don't know. It seemed he may not have been completely accurate in his representation, but it sounds like it was pretty close that during this, but for a very short period of time, it sounds like, but for a very small amount, he did have sufficient funds in his law firm account to cover the amount of the loan that he received from the mortgage company. Commissioner McGann.
Even if he got the loan to free up his own money to put into the campaign, I'm not following that's a problem. That happens with state parties all the time, right? They receive money in from a national party that they then use to pay the light bill, and then the money they already have goes to volunteer activities. I mean, that's a pretty common thing to do. And we're really not talking about a whole lot of money here, but I guess it's more the legal principle, and the small dollar ones always take the most time. But it seems to me this is at best circumstantial, and he's not wrong when he says there's no evidence. I guess there's, you can sort of circumstantially maybe say the money went to the campaign, but there's certainly no direct evidence of that, and it requires accounting. And then I'm glad Mr. Calvert brought up Morrison, because This does feel like Morrison. That was the fellow from Texas whose father allegedly had given money that went passed through his account, went to the campaign, and the commission couldn't work that one out to go forward. So it seems to me it's the same kind of thing. It really tough when you have family members, particularly a spouse on the second finding, but loans from law firms. And this is not an easy one because this raises a lot of issues that are not easily dealt with. I have a certain sympathy for Maynard having had these various lawyer accounts. I mean, it's not surprising that the loan money went into the same account as his accounts receivable, right? I mean, it sort of went into the same account. Not like it went into his trust account. I mean, you know, of course it goes in the same account because he's paying the bills with the money, right? So I don't see that as significant. To the extent it is significant, I see that as helpful to the committee, not hurtful. And what's odd is much of the argument that seems to be offered to explain why Meaner has an issue, I'm actually coming away going the other direction. So I don't know. I don't know what we do now, but I don't know.
Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree. These are some unusual transactions. I find the first with respect. I guess I'll start with the contribution from the spouse or the spouse's money into a joint account and then to the campaign. I think that while I could think of many other ways a spouse could potentially corrupt their spouse candidate, there hasn't been an exception made for spouses, and I think that there is a real challenge to suggesting that anything that goes into a joint account for even how long, I think that's a real challenge. If the account had sort of an ongoing balance of $10,000 as a minimum balance, that might be something different. But here, I have trouble getting to the place I think my colleagues are at. I think I would vote to approve finding two. I think the $5,500 loan is perplexing, frankly. I'm not familiar with the quoted language that I find most interesting is that the loan was made in recognition of the agreement to represent and perform future work and to foster a positive working relationship between the candidate and his client going forward. Well, he was running for office, so at some point in the near future, he was hoping not to actually be in the practice of law. So I find this, it's a very strange transaction. There are all kinds of agreements for future work, except this one is, I'm actually pursuing a different job at that time. And if I make it to that next job, I can't actually do this work that I'm sort of promising you for. May I finish?
Sure. Touching the mic. I didn't.
Sorry, I thought you were Mark Elias for a moment. So I paused. So
just paused again.
I did.
Yes, you better.
Yeah. I'll try.
Otherwise,
to keep
Mark
it,
will come back.
I'll try to keep it moving for you.
Okay.
So my question for the auditors or perhaps counsel is this: we often look at loans. In fact, we're required to look at loans to determine whether sort of in the usual course of business, if somebody gave, if the bank's normal loan rate was 10% and they gave a candidate or a committee a loan rate of 1%, we would perhaps find some trouble with that. Can you fill us in on anything about this type of loan and what this, the consideration that was made for this loan transaction? Do we have any information about this particular scenario?
I mean, what they provided us with was the $5,500 promissory note, and we thought it was a little strange as well. So that's why we provided it to counsel for their analysis when we did get it to see the merits of the contract. And it was not only this contract, but there was other contracts that they were involved in evaluating as well. And I think basically the personal loans and this bit somewhat kind of a business loan situation, they were consistent in calling them problematic, and so we kind of went with that.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other thing that strikes me about this loan that's just odd, and I don't know, maybe Commissioner McGann had friendlier clients than I did, but I can't recall at any point in my private practice career any of my clients loaning me money to foster a positive relationship in the future because they so wanted to curry favor with me. I mean, I don't know, maybe that would be a nice kind of client to have, but I don't think I ever had one.
I actually had someone say, if you know you need money for your whatever you're doing, let me know. And I said, no, I'm doing fine. I actually did have a client say, I'd loan you money, and it was out of the blue. So, but maybe I do have friendlier clients.
Maybe.
At least one of mine can dance. And he's known as a nice, nice guy.
I still think you taught him.
To dance or to be a nice guy?
To dance.
Okay.
I wouldn't say anything about whether he's a nice guy. That's not his reputation.
That was a loud laugh, Mr. Staff Director. Sorry, you weren't even mic'd up, and I could hear that. Wow.
It's been a long day.
I think that according to the response from the committee, the loan, the $5,500 has been repaid. It was repaid with interest. So for everything that seems odd, there seems to be a fact that makes it look like a loan. You repaid it. That kind of. So I come back to the more we talk, the more I keep pulling more where I've started, which is odd because it seems like we can just keep doing this all day, or we can sort of realize that this is what it is.
Commissioner Weintraub, and then Commissioner Walter after that.
You know, I have some concerns about this because it just seems very odd. But on the other hand, you know, in the spirit of what we were talking about earlier about sufficiency of the evidence, can I say that odd is enough to make a finding? Do we have enough evidence here to sustain a finding, you know, on this $5,500 loan that got repaid? I'll give you that one. I'm going to hang tough on the family contribution, which is consistent with every other vote I've ever taken on family contributions, as you know.
I know. And there is a long history at the commission over that. And there's been, at one point, I think Brad Smith did a statement of reason saying he's not enforcing it anymore. There's just no, you know, the spousal thing after the Janet Robert and Mike Ferguson burst.
I think that was Mason who said
that. Was it
that.
Mason that said? Yeah. Well, Mason did the apology to Ferguson. I think Brad actually did a statement that said he just doesn't see the corruption, so he took matters in his own hands and said enough is enough long before enough is enough became the catch, I think. I know Dave did do a long statement.
Can you go a day without quoting Citizens United or
what's that?
I want to know if you can go a day without quoting Justice Roberts.
No.
Commissioner Walter.
I don't feel strongly about either of the findings, so just to let you know, I think the one...
Ty goes to the chairman then?
You know, I look at this guy, and all he wants to do is get rid of this thing. I mean, he'll call it anything you want. You can be sure it is. The guy borrowed, and there are people out there, if you say, hey, I need 20 grand, the guy goes, fine. And so the guy calls it up, you know, he calls it whatever he wants. And that's just the way it can be. And so it's not unusual. A lawyer can do it. And I mean, I know people I can do that too, and you don't necessarily mean, you know, this is a big corrupt thing. Person needs the money, fine. You pay it back. The word's good. Here on the spousal thing, I kind of see it the same way. We didn't look back to see what kind of gifts, you know, were made in the past, like we have in other transactions, to see if there's, a giving. But here comes out of a trust, goes into I guess the spouse's account, then. And it really doesn't make a lot of difference because it goes in there. They both have equal rights to it, and it's used. So I'm not too uptight about this particular transaction. I'm not saying I wouldn't do that in the future if something was clearly won. But I think they were kind of stumbling around and thought they were doing the right thing, and kind of the way I look at it.
Mr. McGann.
Not to beat the dead horse, but the $5,500 loan, if we say that's a prohibited contribution, the poor fellow paid it back with interest, so now he's feeling like he's made a contribution that he's had to pay back with interest. Just, wow. So he probably doesn't want to feel that way. May have tax consequences with all this. Who knows? People have trust, and maybe it matters to him how we do it. But
take yes for an answer, Commissioner.
What's that?
Take yes for an answer.
Yes.
So if I can kind of summarize where it looks like we are on finding one, it looks like we can approve finding one
with respect to everything but the $5,500 loan, where it appears that there's a majority of the commission who would be willing to say that the evidence was not sufficient to make a finding that this was an impermissible contribution. And then with respect to finding two, it looks like we're stuck. And I guess we could either split it up and have just a motion with respect to finding one, or and then have a separate motion on finding two, where I guess we deadlock and then maybe instruct.
I'm sure there's a deadlock on that.
What's it, on finding two? Well, maybe.
You might have Commissioner Walford.
Okay, well, maybe.
I'll on that one.
Okay.
Then why don't we? So I think
we'll need to have a motion first on finding one. Any takers on making that motion?
I think I just heard you make a motion, or I will move the description that the chairman just said of approving finding one with the exception of the $5,500 loan.
All right. Does everyone understand the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of finding two of the Audit Division's report.
Everyone understand the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed.
Really?
Hold on.
Sorry.
I retract that. Sorry.
I thought that was, because we were getting along so well this morning.
The era of good feeling was continuing.
She was careful. She phrased it the way you didn't expect.
We're wearing matching suits today.
Those opposed say no?
No.
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 The motion fails 2-4 with Commissioner Weintraub and the Vice Chair in favor, and Commissioners Walther, McGann, Hunter, and myself in opposition. With respect to that second, the second motion, does the Audit Division need any further instruction on how to make the what the instruction is from the Commission as to the modifications that would need to be made to that particular finding?
I think we're good.
Okay. Anything else? I know we want to get out of here, but I just want to thank my colleagues. I think this has been a very productive day. It's been certainly been a very interesting and lively day. Maybe we felt a little bit draggy there right after lunch, but I thank all of my colleagues for all that we've been able to get through on this agenda and for your patience and your endurance. I would just ask the staff director, are there any management or administrative matters to consider?
Not at this time.
If not, meeting is adjourned.